and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for May 13th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me is the man, Jim Allen. What's up, bud?
The man? When did I get a promotion, dude?
You've always been the man. You just haven't known it.
Ah, don't you hate it when that happens?
You just needed someone to tell you.
Wow. Well,
hey, I don't know how many mothers out there are listening to the show, but happy Mother's Day to all the wonderful moms out there.
Indeed. Well, your mom's still around, so happy Mom's Day to John's mom.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully my dad can get her to play it or play it for her or something. Anyway, happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Okay.
On today's show, we've got an interview with Matt Clark of the Chunichi Dragons, and we're going to discuss the Dragons and Motonobu Tanishige's 2000 hit, and we're going to talk about Interleague and more. So let's get started.
Clearing the bases!
Now, remember, if you live in the United States, find out more information on watching live Giants games on oneworldsports.com. So I went out to Jingu Stadium on Monday, and I talked to Matt Clark. And Matt is from basically an area that I used to live in for quite a while. In fact, my first full-time job as a sports reporter was out in Ontario, California, which was about 10 minutes away from Etawanda High School, where he went to high school. And I was out there in 1990, so he was probably a toddler then.
Oh, another thing that we hate.
I know. The guy's 26, man.
Whippersnapper.
Oh, yeah, so I got that going for me.
Put the training wheels back on that bat.
But, yeah, we got to talk about, Southern California stuff. And I covered Etawanda High School a couple of times when I was at the Inland Valley Daily Bulletin, a paper out there in Southern California. So, yeah, we got to talking about Southern California stuff. But, yeah, Matt got off to a really good start. Recently, he's been on the bench more than on the field. But as he says in the interview, he's still making adjustments, so that I guess that comes to that's something we can expect from him. Now, I remember reading a story online about his first visit to Okinawa. Now, I thought it was right when he got off the plane, but apparently it was when he went to camp in Okinawa.
Mm-hmm.
And the story I read said that he was questioned and made to provide urine samples and the whole nine yards because of some medication that he had. And, it was for undisclosed medical matter. And, I didn't ask. It's none of our business. Everything's taken care of, so it's not even a big deal. But I thought it might have been something traumatic for him to get off the plane or just, be in Japan for a really short time and have to experience.
Mm.
I know I've been checked at the airport, and I don't like it one bit.
Yeah, you got to be careful in Japan, if you got things like bullets in your luggage or...
More Maximo Nelson.
Somebody was talking about signing Maximo Nelson the other day. I'm trying to recall, but that's another story for another day. I remember the story. It was the first week of February.
Mm-hmm.
And basically his, to put it as succinctly as I can, he has a chronic illness.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been taking a prescription medicine for years in the United States that did not violate any drug policy or substance, illegally controlled substance or illegal, whatever. Anyway, so he didn't have any banned illegal substances in that medicine in the United States. However, it contained a tiny amount of stimulant that is illegal in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they took him, they hauled him off to the police station to make sure, they tried, to keep this all above board, so they hauled him to the police station and they took a test and they took him to the hospital and had a test and eventually all this happened was they filed a document with the police. The police filed papers on him, not to arrest him, but just indicate that they, discovered this violation. And, but the amount was so small that they said it would be, it'd be ridiculous. It's a ridiculous thing.
Mm-hmm.
So basically he got a prescription a different prescription in Japan for his condition, that didn't contain any, illegal substances. And that was the end of the story. Of course, why it blew out of discussion is because one, Japanese drug laws are very strict.
Mm-hmm.
And two, he's an athlete or a celebrity or somebody, you know, who's not run of the mill. He's not an ordinary, you know, he's not a high school student somewhere.
Right.
So the reporters, you know, baseball writers don't get to cover real news very often.
Especially in February, there's nothing to write about.
Exactly. So this was news. I mean, it's camp. Well, let's see, today's camp. Somebody hit six balls out over the fence in batting practice.
Well, this is the first day. This is so-and-so arrived and looked nice in a suit and tie and greeted fans at the airport. I mean, this is even drier.
Yeah, well, this wasn't the first day, I don't think. But it was, you know, it's basically dull stuff, and, you know, and they do get news. I mean, they have to write, they write about guys being, starting the season on the minor league camp because they had a case of the hiccups. it's about as dull and boring as you could possibly get. So they have something that's actually news, and it becomes blown out of proportion for that point. But, you know, nobody, it was news, but nobody really cared.
Yeah, it was not a big deal. Not a big deal. And as you'll hear from the interview, he says, hey, you know, it wasn't a problem. They got it settled and it's all fine. It's all good. And he's playing. So let's go ahead and take a listen to the interview.
All right. Our guest this week is Matt Clark. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Good to be here.
All right. You had a very eventful arrival in Japan. Can you tell us what that was? Was that what it was like for you?
I kind of had a fair warning before I got off the plane because Alonzo Powell talked to me before and he's like, just be ready. There's going to be a lot of media. He's like, when I came, it felt like I thought Michael Jordan was on my plane with me. He's like, the way the attention they give you and everything like that. And I guess it doesn't happen too often, but the manager met us at the airport when we all arrived. So it was kind of, they said it was something special. So it was cool to meet him right away and not have to have that weird meeting at the beginning of this practice.
Right, right. And then they found something in your luggage and kept you in the back room, I guess.
Not when I arrived. It was more of like, so I take a different medication than they had seen before, so it wasn't really a big deal. It's just Japan has never seen it, so they asked me a few questions in Okinawa about it, and that was pretty much the end of it, but nothing major.
All right, yeah, the stories that we read seemed to make it seem like you were taken into the back room and your bags were searched and all this other stuff.
Yeah, no, not at all. I actually just showed it to our trainers, like, this is what I'm taking, just if you guys need to know, and they're like, okay, we'll just get it checked out, and I think the media kind of blew it out of proportion, and now it's a thing of the past.
The team didn't say anything to you about it?
Oh, no, not at all. They just wanted to make sure everything was good. They didn't want any problems, so we just made sure we handled it the right way.
Great. All right, so now you're here and you're making adjustments. What kind of adjustments are you making to play in Japan?
It's actually been a lot of adjustments. It's got to learn the players, got to learn the pitchers all over again, so it's like kind of starting from scratch. So it's a little different, but as of lately, I've been swinging the bat a lot better and just hitting the ball hard. Just not a lot to show for it recently, but I think as we progress, it'll be a lot better.
Have you changed your swing or your approach at all? Anything you're doing at the plate?
Not too much in the swing, but you definitely got to change the approach, the way they pitch you. They're not going to just give in and lay one in there for you to hit. They're very good at keeping their staying out of the middle of the plate. They got very good control. They throw breaking balls to any count. That's the one major thing that I've had to adjust to is being in a fastball count. They throw you a forkball or they throw you a changeup or slider.
There are no fastball counts, Matt. We've talked to many a foreign player and we've explained that.
Yeah, there is no such thing as a fastball count here. I got a 3-0 slider with the bases loaded one time, so now I'm just ready for anything.
Now, your father played for 8 major league teams. What was it like growing up as a kid, moving all over the place?
Yeah, I was always the kid in the clubhouse, on the field, trying to shag as many ground balls, fly balls as I could, just listening, learning, just keeping my mouth shut, walking around the clubhouse, in the dugout during the games. It was a very good experience. It taught me a lot, especially to help me later in my career.
Who gave you some advice that you still use, other than your father, who was a pitcher?
I kind of take bits and pieces of everything I've heard, but my dad's probably the main influence on my career for the most part. He played for so long and spent a short time in the big leagues, but he played for 20, 22 years. So that's just in itself is a story, being able to hang in there that long.
to tell me about it. That's about as long as I've been in Japan. So now you're in Japan. I mean, you moved around a lot as a youngster, and now you're in Japan. And you're fairly young. What's your plan?
I don't know. I've always been on to new things, trying different experiences. I mean, I've been all over the place in my career so far. So, I mean, I just kind of just roll with the punches and see how this year goes and then make a decision as to next year what I'm going to do. I mean, I have no plans at the moment. I just want to start playing a little better, and hopefully the team can start winning some games.
Now, what were your thoughts when you made the decision to come to Japan?
I was actually excited. I mean, I was kind of in a no-win situation with the Padres. They weren't going to call me up, and they weren't going to trade me or release me, so it was kind of the only way to really get out of there and kind of start fresh. I mean, because now I can, even if I do not come back to Japan, I'm a free agent. I'm a free agent here after this year, and I'm a free agent back in the States, so it's kind of, options are endless now, so I can kind of pick and choose what I want to do.
Okay, good luck with that. Now you've seen all the teams in the Central League, and we're getting ready for Interleague to start, but you've seen all the teams in the Central League. What's your impression of some of the players and some of the teams?
It's actually quite, I mean, the way they do things here, the older guys, the way they go about their business is totally different than the way they would in the States, the way the pitchers do their things. The whole routine in general is just a lot different, but seeing all the different teams, learning some of the players, there's some guys that can really play, and it's pretty interesting to watch and see how they go about it. It's the pitches they get to hit, the pitches they don't swing at, in the counts that they're supposed to get good pitches to hit, they don't, and then they're actually very patient and do a good job of getting the ball up in the zone and putting a good swing on it.
Who are some of the players that made an impression on you?
I really like watching Abe hit from the Giants. He does a really good job at getting good pitch to hit. It seems like he always gets a good pitch to hit. I don't know if it's the Giants. Everybody always seems to get the Giants a good thing to hit. But he's
Abe?
Abe, the catcher, yeah, Giants, okay. Yeah, he's done some damage against us. So
yeah.
It's been... it seems like all the big-time players have been doing some pretty good damage to us lately.
Even some of the small-time players.
Yeah, I mean, all the big-name guys have been living up to their names, I'll tell you that.
What about teams now? What team? Obviously, the Giants look pretty good. What other teams look good?
I mean, for the most part, I think all the teams are pretty much equal. It all comes down to, like, one inning or one pitch. Not like someone gets blown out too often, even though that kind of happened yesterday to us and the day before, or 2 days before that, but that's very rare. And I mean, the way the teams buckle down, 1-0 is usually what you're going to be playing for around here. 1-0, 2-1, so you get to see the elite relievers, the elite closers.
Now, Interleague is going to start next week, I believe, so how are you preparing for that now?
I mean, once I finally get to see these guys a couple of times, and now I got to move on to another team that I haven't seen. So, I mean, we're going to...
Yay!
We're just going to keep doing what we always do. Study the pitchers, watch video, and just get ready to play. I mean, they got scouting reports for days on these guys, so sometimes a little too much information, but you just got to digest what you can and put it into play.
All right. Now, you guys haven't... I mean, I keep telling people that the teams are separated by only a couple wins. You guys are just happen to be in last place right now, but what's a key point for you guys going forward?
Yeah, I mean, we've caught a couple bad breaks, especially the last couple of weeks. We've lost by one run here, one run there. Just give up that one big inning, one big hit. So if we can just win those tight ones, I think we'll be fine. I mean, we're in every game. It's not like we're getting blown out or anything like that. So if we can just hang in there, win a couple of those tough ones. I mean, if you can win 3 to 4 games a week, you're going to be sitting pretty at the end of the season. So that's kind of our goal, just to kind of battle and just keep winning those close ones.
All right. Good luck. Thanks a lot for joining us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
All right. Thanks again, Matt. We really appreciate you taking the time and sitting down with us. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. We're looking forward to seeing you. I have not seen the Dragons yet, so that will be a pleasure.
Well, yeah, you're just missing a bad bullpen. In fact, an overused bullpen, a weary bullpen. What caught your ear in the interview?
Well, a few things. I've been talking with a few players about their interactions with the managers. And so, but the manager met him at the airport was kind of interesting. I'm glad that, you know, at least we now would understand one part of Morimichi Takagi's job description, because it was not always clear.
Yeah, well, you know, at Nagoya, when Alonzo Powell came into town back in the 90s, the airport is about, I don't know, 15, 20-minute drive from downtown Nagoya. And probably from where Alonzo was living, it was probably like more like 25, 30 minutes. Not that far.
Oh, no.
Now it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's
pretty far. It's at least an hour's drive just to get to the area where the airport is. So, that's a big deal. That was kind of amazing, yeah. What else?
The perception, of course, his perception of the of his game is getting better and making adjustments, but hitting the ball better. Now, I haven't watched, to be honest, I don't know if I've seen any Dragons games this year, other than just glimpses on TV here and there.
Right.
But it wouldn't surprise me if that is true. Not because I doubt what he's saying, but very often in Japan, you know, they do the most ridiculous thing in that a guy makes good contact, and if he goes 0-for-4, he didn't hit the ball well.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't surprise me, although I did notice that Monday was his last day in the lineup, and I don't know what the story is, because he wasn't taken out for a pinch hitter. He was taken out after his second at bat, and he's pinch hit ever since. But he was striking out a lot for a couple of days, and he has had a lot of strikeouts, which is normal when people are trying to acclimatize themselves.
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly I want to get in. I was going to get into that later, but I guess we'll go ahead and get into it now. I didn't like Takagi back in his first stint with the Dragons. I think I like him even less now. And I think I noticed a little bit of dissension because the weekend before that, or just, I'm sorry, the series before that, they played the Yokohama Bay Stars at Nagoya Dome. And Takagi jumped out of the dugout when there's a pitcher named Inoue on the mound, and he threw one pitch. And Takagi jumped out of the dugout and made the pitching change just running to the umpire. He didn't even go to the mound. And normally the pitching coach Kondo-san goes out to the mound, makes the pitching changes and all that. So it sent up a red flag for me. I thought there was some kind of dissension going on there. And we know that last year at the end of the year when they played in the playoffs, Gondo, the pitching coach, and Takagi weren't getting along or disagreement about
the pitchers. Yeah, they reportedly had a shoving match.
Yeah, well, I would have liked to have seen two 70-year-old guys shoving each other. Had to be the biggest pillow fight we've ever seen. Actually, Takagi he's pretty stout, man. He's still in good shape. I think he'd break a piece of Gondo over his knee, I think.
Well, used to. Before Gondo went back to coaching, he looked pretty frail, but he was... they had some disagreements early in the season. They had some disagreements late in the season. And Takagi, to me, his biggest problem when he was around in the 90s was basically that he burned out the pitchers. He inherited a bunch of pitchers, and he just let them run. And by the time he was finished with them, most of them were done. They were toast.
Yeah. Well, he's got a few in the toaster right now. But I think I'm looking at, you know, putting Masahiko Morino at second base a couple times, and Araki, who came up as an outfielder because there was no room in the infield. He's played out there before, but they had him starting in right and Morino at second, and I'm like, what are you doing here? I mean, you know, this is not. I'm just sensing that there's a lot of angst and a lot of confusion going on in the team, and that's what's reflected in the record that it has and why it's in last place. I don't think, because we talked about it last week, we're looking at the numbers, and numbers wise they shouldn't be this bad, and Michael Westbay on his Yaku Report podcast, he did a run expectancy or wins expectancy survey or what do you call them, study, and it said that maybe they could be a couple, three games better than what they actually are. And so you look at the numbers, and they shouldn't be like this. And so when I saw that pitching change that he made when he jumps out of the dugout and walks straight to the umpire, and I'm looking at the moves to put Morino in second, where, I mean, he had played it a long time ago, but he's old and broken down. He's really got no business being around second base unless he's running to it. And I'm running. I'm using the word loosely, you know.
that's mean.
I mean,
he could still beat me from. He could probably run to first to second and back again before I got halfway.
All right. Well, no comment there. But I'm just sensing. You know, I'm just sensing that things are not all as well in Nagoya Town, and that's sad for me because I like the town and I know the people there love the baseball team, but perhaps things are going down, and I point the finger at him. I mean, I can't see any other reason. It's not just because all those guys got a year older. I mean, Tanishige is playing at a higher level than he has played at for this amount of time in a number of years. I mean, he's had a couple of good stretches, but nothing, you know, longer than about 3 or 4 weeks. And this is sixth week. So he's doing pretty well. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, I'm being harsh, but.
Well, you tend to be harsh. You know, we tend to be harsh on the teams we love. And, that's a, you know, expected. But as far as the Dragons, I really don't know. I don't think their record is all that out of whack. The Central League basically has has one anomaly, and that's the Hanshin Tigers, who've done very well with, they've done very well. Everybody else is more or less, the Giants are way out in front, okay, but their record is still pretty good considering the Tigers and Giants are a little bit on the good side. Everybody else is a little bit on the bad side. The difference between the Bay Stars, who are 18 and 20 now, and the Dragons, who are 16 and 23, there's no difference. Yeah. We've basically got four teams tied for third place, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
The only thing I would add is that if the Dragons have a problem, it's that their offense has actually been okay, and I think, you know, Tanishige's had a superb year, and Hector Luna's just been wonderful. He's like a Tony. He's not that much smaller than Tony Blanco, but I swear if you put him on, if you gave him a couple more inches of height,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between Tony Blanco 2010 and Hector Luna because they're very similar in when they're standing at the plate. You know, they both have big crouches and they both got the facial hair and. They're both right-handed hitters. We'll put them in the field. That's another story. But
whoa.
Well, yeah. Let's put it this way: Hector Luna can field third base, and Tony Blanco can't.
Yeah. All right.
Or I shouldn't say that. He could probably do it. He can do it better than I could. Yeah. So.
Well, you know, I looked at these guys obviously in the off season, and nobody could foresee that Hector Luna would be playing a great first 6 weeks, and that Tanishige would be playing the way he has for 6 weeks. And they're hitting, you know, like you said, they're scoring enough runs. They're just not able to make it turn it into victories, like Matt said. They lose some close games, but you know, you add a guy like Clark, you add a guy like Luna and their production, and you have Tanishige and the production, it should be enough to make them a better team than they were last year.
Well, the defense is not what, you know, it's funny, the Dragons have been the Central League's premier, well, I think the Dragons were for a long time Central League's premier defensive team. I think the last couple of years it's been Yakult. But they've been really solid, and right now they're just the feel I get is they're not. The defense is creaking.
Yeah.
And they have some tremendous outfielders. I mean, Oshim is a great outfielder. I think Fuji's a very good outfielder. Denoy's a very good outfielder. He's not playing. And then they're messing around with all this with these. You know, it's a junkyard.
And Wada goes out there and he plays every day. And then Hirata was playing today. And then, like I said, they put Araki out there and they put him out there. And the first thing he did was make a bad throw. So they don't want to do that again, I don't think.
I don't know, Boy Scout camp. And he's trying to teach a bunch of miscreants a lesson. You know, it's just weird.
That's boot camp, I guess, for the youngins. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, the other thing that Matt said in his talk that caught my ear was that Alonzo Powell, he had talked to who played in Nagoya and won three straight batting titles in the 90s, and Alonso didn't tell him that there are no fastball counts in Japan. I thought I thought that was odd. I mean, if anybody would have told him that, it would have been a guy who won three straight batting titles. Say, by the way, Matt, there don't be looking for fastballs and fastball counts.
Should have also told him not to hit the ball at any fielders, because as we know, that if it hadn't been for hitting balls straight at fielders, Alonso Powell would still be playing.
Stop it now.
Hey,
you don't have to wind up so far back when you backhand the man like that.
No, he had a great career here. It's just that, you know, everybody's, it's not just Alonso. For every pitcher, it's all the hits that squeak through, and for every batter, it's all the ones that go right at people. I mean, he hit the ball on the nose a lot, and to be fair, when you hit the ball on the nose a lot, sometimes you're gonna hit him right hard.
Okay.
When you hit the ball, when you square it up a lot, well, you're going to get a lot more hard hit balls at fielders than guys who never square it up. So yeah, people like Alonso have a right to be bitter, but, you know, it does happen to everybody, and, you know, that's the breaks.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the poor Dragons. I saw a player the other day, this is a week ago almost, and, saw one of the guys having that glassy-eyed look in his face, you know, because they were in the midst of a skid, and it didn't look good. And, you know, they did eventually get out of it. And like I said, you know, everybody's a three-game winning streak away from third place, you know, everybody who's not in first or second. And
well, after the Giants losing streak the other day, pretty much everybody's a three-game winning streak from first place.
Yeah. Well, I don't think everybody is, but the teams are, and it ain't the Dragons, and they're not looking good, but I mean, I still don't see a last place team there. I mean, I don't see it. To be honest, I think they'd switch places with the Carp for a day, and I don't really see the Carp as a last place team. So I guess we'll just have to see how everything plays out. I mean, it's a long season. We're not that far through it, so we're going to have to see how everything goes. But maybe we are looking at a last place team.
I think we might be. I think when it comes to disorganization, and the lack of a useful plan, I think the Carp and the Dragons have to go 1-2 in that category.
And of course, with Yoshimi being out, and he's got an elbow issue, and we don't know what it is. The last report I read, the team was going to allow him to decide whether they have an operation or not. And if you talk about an operation on an elbow, it's none other than Tommy John. I can't think of anything else they'd be going in there to do. Maybe clean out some bone spurs in the elbow, but
it'd be, well, that was what was supposedly the issue last year, was a bone spur.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But then
maybe they left a pair of tweezers in there or something.
Stop it. Now you're going to rip on the medical industry. Well, let's not get started. Don't take that as a platform to dive in. Let's talk about a positive with the team, and that is Tanishige. And he got his 2,000th hit the other day. Now, I called him the other day a compiler, but now, you know, looking into the numbers a little bit more, he's a master compiler, because he became just the third player to reach 1,000 hits with two different clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And he was 3-for-4 today.
Yeah.
With a home run and two RBIs. And
well, he planned that very well, because he left the Bay Stars as a free agent with 1,003 hits. So he was in position to do that.
I see. He wanted to make sure he got to 1,000 before
I guess that was a goal.
He left, yeah.
I doubt that, seriously.
And I did see him on Monday the other day, and I did talk to him real quick. And, I mean, I patted him on the shoulder. He's still a strong, solid guy. I mean, his body is not slowing down. And I saw an interview the other day. He says, well, I'm going to keep playing until either my body gives out or my heart gives out. You know, I don't have the heart to play anymore.
Oh.
So I can still see him playing another couple 3 years, actually.
Me too. You know, the thing about a couple of things about Tanishige is that, first of all, it's really he was only the third catcher to get 2,000 hits
out of 44 who have made it that far.
Right. So that's pretty amazing. Now, catchers do tend to, good defensive catchers tend to have really long careers because, you know, even if you hit 180, if you can catch, you know, if you can catch, you can probably find a job on the bench somewhere. I mean, his backup, Coyote, is still playing, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy, if people don't remember, former Dragons ace Shigeki Noguchi signed with the Omiuri Giants as a free agent, and they took as compensation a 33-year-old backup catcher who's had vastly more value than Noguchi had in the last 2 years of his career, you know, because he's there and he plays now and then and he does okay, hits a little bit now and then. So, okay, here's the thing. If you're a catcher who has a good defensive reputation, you can pretty much play until your legs give out. But here's the thing, is that in order to become a catcher who has a good defensive reputation, you have to hit well enough that you have to play long enough to develop that reputation. Okay, so that's one part of the equation. And the other part of the equation is, if you're going to hit 2,000, get 2,000 hits, at some point you have to hit well enough to be in a key offensive role, because players who can't hit that well are never going to get 2,000 hits in their career. Does that make sense?
No.
You have to be a good hitter at some point. I mean, in the
you
early
have to be
stage,
able to hit to stay in the lineup to get that. I mean, that's the thing I talked about. Cal Ripken's streak was not that he stayed healthy; it was that he was productive enough to be put in the lineup every day.
And then could stay healthy. It's two sides, you know.
Well, it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't only that he was able to stay healthy, right? So, I mean, in the case of Tanishige, I don't know. I think he flies in the face of that theory because what did he do? He hit in the number 9 hole. I'm sorry, he hit in the number 8 hole in 1,730 games. And
well, 1,730 games is a vast number of games. I don't care if you're hitting in the 10 hole.
But I'm just saying, I don't think he's part of the plans or the scheme, the scoring scheme or anything. He's in the number 8 hole. In a league where the pitcher's bat, so he's hitting in front of the pitcher. So, I mean, you know, whatever you do is fine. You know, don't get hurt. You know, he needs you to catch. don't throw your back out swinging here.
Well, we're talking about a guy who just played forever. So, I mean, 1,700 games was it 1,700 games batting eighth?
1,730 games in the eighth hole.
Okay. But, On the other hand, first of all, yeah, he became a pretty good hitter. He was a good hitter right in his prime, 26 to 30. And then he went to become a free agent. He came out of high school. He was supposed to be, of course, a great hitter, and he wasn't. He was supposed to be a great catcher, and he wasn't. He basically platooned for 6 or 7 years, with a guy named Akimoto, who wasn't a great catcher or a great hitter either.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually they had a manager who said, look, Tanishiga's our best guy, let's go with him. And that guy, Akihito Oya, is a former catcher, and he schooled him a bit. And when the Bay Stars won their pennant and won the Japan Series in 1998, Tanishiga by then had developed into a regular number one catcher, and bingo. And then he left as a free agent a couple years later. Mm. But the point was, he was a pretty good hitter. He was at the time they won the pennant. If he was a number 8 hitter, which I don't think he was, but if he was a number 8 hitter, it was only because that lineup was crammed with high average hitters.
Yeah, now that was a different team. That team had a lot of talent, but I think you're right. I don't think he was the number 8 hitter on that team. But yeah, I remember reading something this past week that said, someone said, you know what, you're really not, someone told him that you're not made out to be a catcher. And he said, I'll show you.
Uh-huh.
You know, that fed him, and he worked hard on every aspect of catching. And when you said, you just said a little while ago, you said catching, and I'm thinking, well, it's not just the catching. It was the calling of games.
Sure.
The how to go about trying to get hitters out. Stopping, blocking balls in the dirt, throwing runners out, and, you know, not just the catching aspect, but yeah, I mean, everything to do with it. Yeah.
Well, that's what I.
I wanted to be thorough. That's all.
Okay.
I know what you meant.
Okay, good. Now everybody knows what I meant, so I appreciate that. So anyway, yeah, he's had a great career, and he was a good enough hitter, and we talked to, or we mentioned, you mentioned today that he had batted one time in the fourth hole. I thought that it was more than that, but it was not. But, coming to, thinking about that, in 2011, when Hiromitsu Ochiai was still managing, when I'd say, I want to say, the great Hiromitsu Ochiai.
Thank you.
Managing the Dragons. He was superb. As long as you weren't a member of the media or the wrong member of the media, he was a great manager. He batted Tanishige in 2011. He batted him fifth in 28 games.
Mm-hmm.
And in those 28 games, he batted 317 with a 388 on base percentage and a 471 slugging average. He scored 10 runs and drove in 18 runs. So, the great Hiromitsu Ochiai.
I like that. You know, it was so funny. I was listening to the radio broadcast when the Dragons were playing the Swallows, and Shingo Takatsu was the color man.
Oh, yeah.
And he said something really funny about Shige. He says, he was a weird hitter. He said, I could throw the ball right down the middle, and he couldn't handle it, but I'd throw him some really tough pitches, and somehow he managed to hit him so hard.
He's been a tremendous clutch hitter. I remember he burned the Fighters a couple of times in the Japan series, once in 2006 and once in 2007. 2006, everybody was asking Trey Hillman, how come he didn't pitch around Tanishige? He said, look, he was a good hitter 10 years ago. He ain't a good hitter now. Well, he's good enough.
Yeah.
You know, he's good enough, and he's a great, and if you had somebody, you know, if the Dragons said, we're going to release you, how many teams do you think would raise their hand and said, we want this guy?
About half the teams in both leagues.
I think that's underestimating. I would think that if they released him, I think every team in Japan would say, come and sign with us. We have a role for you. Because he could fill a role on every team in some capacity.
Yep. All right. All right, well, congratulations to him. Let's go on to the performers of the month, or what would you like to call them? You'd like to rename this, because I don't like monthly MVPs, and you don't like how they select them, so we got to come up with a better name.
I like pitcher of the month and
RBI home run guy?
RBI man of the month.
Okay. I will call them top performers of the month. How's that?
Okay.
All right. The announcement was on the 8th,
mm-hmm.
Wednesday. Yes.
I was off that day.
The announcement came on Wednesday, and in the Pacific League, it was none other than T60, our man, 260.
Central League.
I'm sorry, in the Central League, it was T60, and then Toshiya Sugiuchi with the Giants, which was kind of a surprise. And then in the Pacific League, well, let me go through them real quick. In the Pacific League, it was Kazuhisa Makita with a T.
Absolutely.
Takumi Kuriyama, both of the Lions, who both got their first awards, their first honors there. Now, what did you think about the Central League?
Well, we were talking about this before the show, but I have to think, you know, the number of, I would like to know how many people have had, in Japanese baseball, have had better months than Tony Blanco had. And I would think you'd be hard-pressed to find a hitter who had, you know, 10 hitters who had better months. It was just an amazing stretch. Sugiuchi was kind of interesting. One thing, if you're going to be pitcher of the month, rule number one is don't lose a single game.
Yeah, you can't lose anything because the first thing they do is look at the wins.
Yeah.
Or the losses, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get all the guys with no losses and then see how many wins they have.
Exactly. Or if they have no losses and they haven't, or if they're relief pitchers with about eight or nine saves and they haven't allowed a run, or if they haven't blown a save and they've saved 8 or 9 games, okay, then they can be the pitcher of the month if there's no guy who went 5-0 or 4-0,
yeah,
you know, with an ERA less than 4. So it's pretty, you know, it's pretty formulaic. I think they probably have a computer program that just picks them. Sugiuchi, however, has got picked for the ninth time, which was pretty amazing for a guy who used to get into fist fights with dugout benches.
Yeah.
Well, okay, let's put it this way. He once got into a fist fight with a dugout bench and ruined his season. Mm. He lost by technical knockout.
KO'd. You know, Sugano could have been a candidate in that respect. I think he did really well. And Okita of the Tigers pitched really well, but he lost a game.
Sure, he was an unlucky loser there. Yeah,
he lost a game in that tournament. Jason Standridge has pitched well. At one point he had the second best ERA in the Central League. So,
Messenger has pitched well.
Messenger's won a bunch of games. He hasn't lost yet. His ERA, I don't know, but those were some of the guys. And Hector Luna could have been another candidate. Guy hitting over 400, but he didn't have enough home runs. He didn't have enough RBIs. You're out, buddy.
Matt
Merton was another guy. Could have gotten honorable mention.
Yeah, honorable mention. Okay.
I don't know. Esteban Hermann in the Pacific League, he went nuts. He had a really great first month. 381, 17 RBI, 500 OPB. Man.
The two guys, okay, here's the thing. Another guy in the Pacific
League.
Lee DeHoe.
Yeah. With Oryx, yeah. Had another guy. I mean.
And Sho Nakata.
Yeah.
So these guys were all good. Now, Kuriyama is a really interesting one for me. First of all, he's one of my favorite players, as a lot of people know. He's a player who's very much underrated because he's a guy he's the kind of player who doesn't win Player of the Month awards because he's not a big home run guy.
Mm.
He hits for average, but he's not going to hit 350 or 400. Usually.
Right.
If he hits a bunch of home runs in a month, it's usually like three.
Yep.
He normally doesn't bat in third or, he didn't used to bat third or fourth, but this is a guy who always, he's a line drive specialist who runs the bases well and fields, and he used, before the series of leg injuries, used to be a very good outfielder. He was with a very good arm. Our injuries have taken a toll on his defense, but he's a guy who basically does everything well, and he's a gamer. But he's a guy who does, he's basically a Japanese Phil Bradley, for what he does on the field. He draws walks, he hits for average, he hits for some power, lots of doubles and triples, steals bases, runs the bases well, scores, he's a run scorer, a run creator, but he's not a run driver inner.
Yeah. Like, kind of like Robbie Alomar for me.
Sure.
Without the power. But,
sure.
But sometimes he can supply the power. Yeah, that's the kind of guy he is. I like him too. I mean, he does good work. I agree with you. I'm glad he won it. That Lions team is playing fairly well. I mean, even you say Kikuchi deserved an honorable mention. He had a really, really good ERA. A lot of Ks. He could have gotten the nod just as easily, I think.
Yeah, Lions pitching was extremely good there for until May 1st.
Yeah, but they're still doing okay. It's not like they're struggling. But
they just hit a rough patch.
They're no Marines, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see who it is. We'll try to guess for May when we get close enough to June that we can start trying to predict who they will pick, what the machine, their mysterious ghost in the machine will spit out.
Oh, I think maybe we should have a pool.
Maybe we'll ask all the listeners. I'll do something on the Facebook page. But I want to talk about Interleague before we answer our question for this week. The Giants finally broke through last year. Now, Interleague is going to start on Tuesday this week. And the Giants finally broke through last year and became the first CL team to win it. But the PL still beat the CL overall head-to-head in that matchup by one game with 67 wins and 66 losses with 11 ties. So just for fun, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say the CL has led the Interleague in wins once.
That's true.
Yeah, but it's pretty much you know, 2010, 2011, it was like lights out. It's like the CL didn't even show up.
Yeah, well, that's when the carp couldn't, there were not enough worms out there to bait people into giving them runs. So
I'm certain.
Somebody understands that.
Good.
I knew where you were going.
Listeners, please explain it to me.
Okay. All right. So anyway, just for fun, I thought we'd randomly pick a team that we think has a good chance. You know, not that we're predicting anything. A team that has a good chance to win interleague play, and then we'll monitor those teams as we go through. So I'll start, since I'm dragging you into this foot first, or I guess head last, one or the other. Again,
I don't know again, I'm being born or spit out.
I'm going to pick the Lotte Marines. And I was going to change my pick because Katanaka got hurt and it looks like a hamstring injury and who knows how long he'd be out. But I still like them because at the beginning of the year, one of my issues with them was that they didn't have a lot of power and they were going to have to pillow fight you to death, you know, beat you across the head 100 times until they knock you.
Pillow fight. Pillow fight.
They don't have a lot of power. Well, not kill. Okay, how about beat you up? How's that? Knock you unconscious with a pillow. I don't know. They just don't have enough power, man. They're going to slap hit you to death. But you know what? You look at this first 6 weeks or so of the season, and they've been doing it. So I think when they go up against teams that are not used to what they're going to be doing, and the fact that they've been pitching well, that's the thing that's keeping them in every game, is that they're pitching well. And their bullpen's pretty solid. I'm going to go with the Lotte Marines. What about you?
Well, I'm going to stick with the PL theme, and I'm going to stick with the I'm going to go with the Hawks.
Hmm.
And this is probably about as random as you get. First, I'm going to pick a PL team because the prominent feature of Interleague that separates the two. Well, the prominent feature is that the teams have to travel a lot.
Hmm.
And they have to fly a lot. And if you're a Pacific League team, particularly if you're the Fighters or the Hawks, you fly a lot anyway. You fly, if you're the Fighters, every road game, you fly. Every road trip, you're flying. If you're the Hawks, everywhere except against the Buffaloes, you're flying. So, I think this is probably the only advantage. This is perhaps the only advantage in the Pacific League. And so I'm going to pick one of those two teams. And the Fighters, I just don't have enough confidence to pick them for anything. You know, I've got a lot of, so I'm going to go with the Hawks. And that's my random pick.
Okay. Yeah, mine is too. I mean, you know, a betting man would probably pick the Giants. You know,
yeah, they're the class of they certainly are the class of the, of both leagues. But here's the thing about Interleague is that, well, of course, what happened last year is the Giants got, you know, but a couple of Pacific Leaguers, and I think that helped them.
Yeah, a couple
and,
pitchers.
DJ Holton and, Sugiuchi. Obviously, Sugiuchi throwing a no hitter kind of boosted their confidence a little bit. But,
probably.
Yeah, so, that's interesting, but I don't see a lot of difference between the two leagues this year. I'm going to pick the Hawks just on that reason alone, for no reason.
Okay, so. On that reason for no reason. All right.
Exactly. Oh, God, can I make any less sense?
No, you could make a little bit more sense.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to fielding questions. All right, our question this week is from John, and he's from somewhere in the United States, I assume. And it's not me.
Oh, okay, well, that was the first question, is that you're using an assumed name.
Is that the ass out of you and me name, or is it just the assumed name? All right.
I John and an ass, I'm not going anywhere near those two things.
All right, well... The question is, how are MPB games broadcast? Television and internet in Japan? Do teams have exclusive territories where they can only broadcast their games? Thank you very much. All right, John, thanks for the question. Jim?
Thanks for the question, John. There's no exclusive territorial rights. First of all, the home team owns the broadcast rights for every game. The visiting team gets nothing. That's not quite true. I mean, that's an oversimplification. But basically, the home team sells the broadcast rights. It used to be in Japan, before the age of internet and cable TV, that the Giants were the one team you could see every game of theirs was transmitted, was essentially broadcast nationwide.
Until about 9 o'clock. Sometimes 9:30.
Well, now it's 9 o'clock. It's worse than that's another issue. And and of course, only from 7 o'clock, from 7 to 9.
Yeah.
Because, you know, heaven forbid they should start the baseball game broadcast at the time the game starts.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, what a waste of time.
Yeah, so those of us who are used to the good old days in Japan are used to, we're really, we know it's the top of the ninth inning and the bases are loaded and the cleanup hitter's up against the struggling relief pitcher in this tie game, but we're just out of time tonight, so follow us on the news.
Thank you. Good night.
Exactly.
Yeah, that happened to me. Yeah.
That happened to all of us, so I guess I'm getting numb to that because there's so much information on the internet now, so it's right. Not as harsh as it used to be, but it's still, brain dead.
Now, as far as the internet, I know that Yahoo had been doing some streaming 2-3 years ago, but that stopped.
Right.
And there are some places that you can find some games. One of them is on Justin TV, if you can find that. Sometimes you have to do the search in Japanese. So if you have somebody who can help you out with that, then you can find it on there. But Justin TV on the internet has some. But as far as the internet rights, what's going on with those?
Well, they're still kind of murky. I mean, teams own their internet rights. Obviously, the home team still owns the internet rights. I believe they've moved into that area. The big thing right now is Pacific League TV, although I believe it's only available in Japan.
Mm.
And as from what, and I'm not a, I don't purchase Pacific League TV. Sorry, Pacific League executives who are always kind to me. Sorry about that, but I have on thinking about it. But I understand the Giants are now on Pacific League TV.
Oh, great. Yeah, well, they're not in the Pacific League. What's going on?
No, but, the point is, this is money the Pacific League makes, and if the Giants join it, the Giants is sort of like, this. It reminds me of the strike year when the Giants chairman, Tsuneo Watanabe, nicknamed Nabetsune to all his detractors and a lot of his supporters as well. He was saying when he got frustrated with things Central League owners were saying during their discussions about the future of baseball, he says, I'm going to leave the Central League and join the Pacific League, which was one of the more innovative things that summer. He said he had a few memorable quotes that summer, but we'll save those for another show. Yeah. Anyway, the internet, Yahoo has gone out. The Pacific League is selling its own games now on the internet, live streaming. You can also watch archive games on that, I understand. I believe it's about 980 yen a month.
Okay.
Sounds pretty good to me.
No, it's not that bad, actually, yeah. So I hope that enough of an answer for you, John. If it's not, go ahead and email us back, and we'll do some actual research. But
actual research,
actual research.
Okay. No more of this pseudo research. Oh, darn it!
I actually hadn't tried to watch that many games on the internet per se. I've been using my iPhone and like I said, Justin TV. But I knew about Pacific League TV, and I remember I used to watch some of the games on Yahoo Sports.
Sure.
And it was streaming, but
You could because they used to only have applications for Windows.
Mm. Oh, they so had, Apple, you Mac and
yeah, Mac we kids. Had we used to at first we had a little window we could watch, but if you wanted full screen, you had to do Windows, and now they don't even do Windows anymore. Of course, Giants fans who now have access to the Giants on cable. In the U.S., which is pretty cool. And I wouldn't be too surprised if you don't see the Hanshin Tigers on cable in the U.S. before too long, since the teams are discussing and are planning to open their 2014 season in Southern California.
Yep.
So looking forward to that. And if the Tigers want to avoid losing millions of dollars, that might be a good thing for them to do.
And remember, if you do live in the United States, you can watch live Giants games on One World Sports. So keep that in mind.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the questions. And anyone else who has a question, please send it to yakyujohn@gmail.com or leave us a note on the Facebook page and we'll get to it.
All right. Well, thank you all. And we're looking forward to your questions. And you are the reason this show works. That and John's ability to stay up late at night and do editing.
Which I'll get to now. All right, bud. Have a good week. Thanks a lot.
Oh, I will. Enjoy your work.
All right. Enjoy your baseball.
Night.